Mr. Carter, Reel 14. You're at barracks in Richmond for, you said 6 months, basically causing problems more than anything else.
Yes.
What happened to you next?
Well, I booked in for agricultural leave. You could have a month's agricultural leave. And I got this farmer to claim me out. Oh, you asked what we did mostly. Well, when it got to autumn around there, the farmers could put in for men to go out and help them with the harvest and the cake, picking them and all that. And I'll come to that later. As I said, I put in for agricultural leave, and when I returned after my agricultural leave, I went into the barrack block where these lads were supposed to be, and it was empty. So I said to myself, oh God, I said, I've been posted, and I've been posted absent. So I found one at lads, he had a job in one of the bunks somewhere. I said, where's all the lads? Oh, he said, they've been moved to another back room, and they'd taken my bed in and all there, so it was all right. But then,
did you live with the farmer that you spent your month with?
No.
Where did you stay? Home.
I went home.
And just went to the farm to do farm work.
Yes. In fact, there was myself, my brother who was in the DLI, he was on another farm, and another brother. He was on another farm, three farms close together, the three of us. He was in the engineers, so we were all out at the same time.
It seems incredible in the 1943, well through the war, that you were doing this, and yet you were highly trained regular soldiers.
Oh, well, they couldn't move us, you see, the 6 months wasn't up.
Or you had to stay 6 months?
We were allowed 6 months because they took posters.
I see.
Yeah.
And knowing what to deal with you was obviously a problem over the 6 months.
Yes, it was, because they got out of hand.
They didn't put you through things like updating you on weapons which are now being used?
Nothing at all. No. I got, I'm getting a bit mixed up here. I was telling you that these lads moved up to...
Yes, yeah, they'd moved to another room.
Another room, didn't they? Well, it must have been after I went on agricultural leave. It was previous when they were moved to this year, well, previous to my going on agricultural leave. Because when I came on back on agricultural leave, they had gone. The CEO had got fed up of them, and he'd posted them all to the Durhams. So I'd escaped that. However, we were in this room, and there was all these odd sods, you know, say recovering from wounds or being waiting to post in, and other things. And they used to call them out. Parole call, and I used to stop in. All I would listen for was if I was called for dental or medical. And what he did was, he said, you thought to cookhouse, you to what is? And then, as soon as they dismissed, I got on my bike and went to Northallan. However, I did get caught in the finish, and it was getting towards harvest and potato picking. So they used to take it out on trucks. And the first truck I went on, me and my mate, we thought, my God, there's his eager. They used to come to a farm, and they were out of that truck like as quick as a flash. I saw. Found out what it was all about, because when we were left and got that last farm, it wasn't a very good one. They knew the best farms. In any rate.
Were these mainly conscripted men as you say, either being wounded and recovering or what have you?
All sorts, being posted, you know.
Did you get paid anything for working on the farms, individually?
They knew the best farms, so they got cigarettes and they got money, these devils. We ended up at a farm. It was, they called him Simpson. He's still there yet, a big farm. And the name of it is Broken Bray. Now, that was a good farm. In fact, he had one bloke permanent there. He must have been a grading man. He was permanent. And he slipped him a few shillings, and that was all right. But they had to work. They worked for it. Now, one day, we went to Gilly. And it was a Simpson there. So during the break time, I said to him, I don't know how it came out. I said to him, are you any relation to him, Simpson, a broken back? I don't know how it came out. He said, nay, lad, he says, he's not as bad as that, is he? He's my brother. So, another time, we got landed with a farmer. He had a white beard and an old man he was. Of course, we take all the rations, either coffee or tea. I said, you'll make us a cup of tea, won't you, at dinner time? Oh, he wasn't keen on making us out late. And he says, you can go back to Berwick, you know, if you like. I said, yes. And I said, you know what will happen? He said, aye. He said, I know what will happen. I said, there's one thing you don't know. I said, there's two ways of working. I said, there's the army way and your way, and you're going to get the army way. Oh, if it'd been a balloon, he would have burst. Nay, don't be like that. I'll make a thing. But one thing he did lose, where we had our tea and break time, he just all lined with shallots hung up. He lost all them. Well, yes, I was right down there at Richmond.
So at the end of the 6 months, what happened to you?
Well, time came, and when you posted, we moved from Gallagher Camp to the barracks, Richmond. And by the way, there were different barracks to us. When I first joined up there, there was hot water and everything. You know, all different altogether. So there was to be an inspection, the CO's inspection, and then the company commander's inspection first, and the CO's. That was Buddy Ramsey, that was the CO. So I said to my mate, I said, I'm stopping here, I was going home for the day. And I did, I went home. I come back about 9 o'clock, went Ordy Sergeant, he knew me, like, I passed his bunk and he spoke to me. I thought, oh, I'm all right, I've missed me. He would have been on to me, you see. So next morning, yes, and I passed this sergeant and I spoke to me, as I said. I thought I was all right. Then I went into my room and my mate said to me, he said, you were lucky, he said, on the first inspection, that the company commander never missed you. And he said, when the CEO came round, that was Paddy Ramsden, he said, who is this man? He pointed at that bed like. So I've been twigged. Went to bed. Next morning, we were due to go up next morning. This Ordy Sergeant came in. Where's Carter? He's Carter here. Where is he? I said, I'm here, what's up? I said, I spoke to you last night. And nothing was done about it. And we went down to a holding battalion, Spin Mess.
What date was this?
That was it. Yes, we went down to Spin Mess.
And what date was this again?
About in November.
Of 1943.
We were in a holding, but well, it was just a small small detachment. There was, I think there was two Nisnuts, and they had a big house in the park where their quarters. And there was me and my mate, two old soldiers, causing trouble again, like. Because as soon as we got into the Nisnut, I said to this here Landskov, I said, where's the company headquarters? He says, what do you want at the company headquarters for straight away? I said, no, I'm going to see the company commander. He said, put me down to see the company commander, we're going to see him. So we went to see him. At CSM, there was a man called Beatty. We called him Boy Beatty because he'd been a boy in 2nd Battalion and he'd gotten to be CSM. And the RQ mess was a bloke called Bean. And he'd been a Lance Corporal at Depot when the instructor when I joined up. And the officer didn't know who he was. Anyway, we stated our case and said, we've never had a Christmas for eight years. I said, we'd like to go on leave and have a few days to go on leave. Well, then he said, I'll have to ring the commanding officer if it's a mess. Anything was refused, but he said, you'll be put on looking after the village hall. And I was put on, my mate was put on someone else. So we did not train him there.
What was so important about having the village hall looked after?
Well, they had a dance and that, so they say, and I used to get on my bike, by the bike, a bike to another village to get some powder to put on the hall. I was to keep the village hall in that order. Cushy job like that.
And still no training for action?
No. The recruits were on training, they were training them, but we were trained soldiers. They didn't.
And they just didn't know what to do with you?
They didn't bother with us. We got rid of us because we were a bad influence to the young ones, you see.
Had you any desires to get abroad and into the fighting at this time while it was going on?
No, we knew it would come eventually. We knew we were on the way.
So this was the old soldier's attitude, you know.
But as I say, I had a bit of money once over, and I said to my mate, I said, let's have a weekend off. I said, I know a woman in Leicester. I said, she used to live in our street. I said, we're going to have a weekend down there. So we each got ride to Leicester. We went and stayed with her on a Saturday night. She took us to this pub and the barman was taking no money off us, you see. So I said to him, I said, who's paying for this here beer? And he said, them over there. And they were black Americans, like. He'd been charging extra on their pints to pay for our pints, you see. So time came to go back. We thought on Monday we'd make our way back. And we went through Leicester onto Main Street. And across the street was a Red Cap. So we turned left and run into two more. We ended up in cells. My mate told me, he said, when we met for dinner, he let us get together for, you know, and he said, do you know, I was looking out at the cell window down on the street, and he said, do you know who I saw? I said, no. He said, do you know that publican? He said, he looked up and he saw me and he went, oh. So, anyway, it was a escort came for us. We went back and we got company commander couldn't deal with us. It was a seahorse with the Red Caps, you see. They were involved. And this little mast took in front of him. Now, my mate was a gobby one, but he said, no, And when the officer said, "Have you anything to say?" I said, "Yes, sir." I noticed he had TT up on there. I said, we weren't deserting. I said, "We know where we're going. We know what the 50 div have come back for, and we're proud to go." Well, that's only like 14-day CB only. Now, the CSM, this boy Beatty, when we got into the truck to go back, he expected us going to the gas house. You know, that's where he wanted to see us go. We went in the truck and we heard him say to the escort, "What is the gate?" He said, 14-day CB. 14 days effing CB? Crap! He went mad. Anyway, it wasn't long. So that there was no guard on there. They couldn't go out with us as usual. So they put us in charge of lopping Grubo for a week. We did not stop getting out, you know. Within that week, August came through. We were to join the 6th Battalion. And they pulled us into the office and said, "In the morning there'll be a truck outside there." He said, "There'll be a warrant and you'll be away to the 6th Battalion." Well, usually when you're posted, you have to lay all your kit out and have it checked now. We just rolled our kit up to the truck waiting outside and away we went. And we got to Peterborough and I said to him, we were waiting at the train at Peterborough. And I said, "If train comes in for Southwold, that's where we were going," I said, "we'll go on that, if it comes in first. But if one comes in for Leicester, we'll go back to Leicester." I said, "because we've got a travel warrant now, we're travelling, we're all right." But as it was, the one for Southwold came in first. And we got to Beacle, a place called Beacles, where train ended. And you went by truck to Southwold. And the first Volkant guard duty there was, he'd been a Lance Corporal in Singles, called in Britain. And then...
What date was this that you actually joined the unit? We're into 44 now. Have we gone past Christmas and New Year?
Yes. This would be about the February. Yes.
So you're joining the 6th Battalion, the Green Howards... 69 Brigade, was it?
69 Brigade, yeah.
And, of course, joining men who, or some men, who had seen a lot of action, a lot of fighting.
Oh, yes. Actually, we were sent to D Company. And that's where we met Ollis. He was CSM Ollis, you know, VC. And he said to us, do you two want to stop together? And we said yes. So we posted us to a platoon together. That's the first time we met Ollis.
What was your first impressions of him? This is before his action, of course, in getting his VC.
Yeah, he looked a very smart soldier. He looked very the type. All right. I liked him. Yeah.
What was he like in the way he treated you and his unit?
Oh, he hooked in with the lads and that. He called them by their names and first names and that and joked with them and that. Yes. Oh, he was happy. Happy company was that, deep company.
Did he have high expectations of you?
No. Well, could he have? We had to look up to them, because they'd been through doing all fighting, more or less. They'd done it all. I mean, three landings they'd done.
Would you say he was the man, a kind of fellow you called, was a leader, a good leader, that you would automatically follow him?
Yes.
As you were to find out, no doubt.
I'll find out, yes. Well, he must have been through all them three campaigns.
Who was company commander?
He was a bloke called Loftus, Major Loftus. He was a solicitor up at in Newcastle.
Had he been through the desert and Sicily and so forth?
Yes, I think he had been. Yes.
What was he like?
Well, I'll tell you a bit about him later on.
Which platoon were you in D Company?
I think it was either 17 or 18. It was a platoon that my brother had been in.
But you're now in a rifle platoon.
Yes.
Do you remember your platoon officer?
Yes. Kirkpatrick.
And was he again someone who'd been right through the various actions?
No, I think he joined them in Derrick. He'd come from another regiment. He joined them in the Derrick.
What was he like?
He was all right. I'll tell you about him later.
And your platoon sergeant?
Oh, they were all right. There was about four sergeants. There was one we picked up straight away. Because we went into the room and this sergeant walked in and my mate said, Dickie Outwaite. Now Dickie Outwaite was a regular in our battalion. He was a spitting image and it was his brother.
Was there a smattering of regulars in the battalion?
Oh yeah.
From your early days?
Yes, you see that NCOs had been sent from the 2nd Battalion to make these new battalions up. In fact, this fella I was talking about, signal sergeant in India, him and another sergeant had been sent to them and they were in this barrack room when I got back. And what they'd done, they'd reverted, they wanted to go in the Red Caps. And I said to him later on, after the reunion, I said, what did you revert for? He said, well, Buddy Ramsden wanted us to take over a 7th Battalion. He said, and we'd been torpedoed on the way home. He said, and he only allowed us 3 days, was it, to survive. He said, so the both of them reverted and went in the Red Caps. the sail for Algiers, the first army, French captured them.
You are now in a different situation, but this is now a fighting unit that you are in. Obviously, presumably, you're settled into that much better than you'd done the 6 months previous.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was all training then, in basic training from then on.
Did you find that you took to the training very well? Was there anything new that you hadn't learned? Or had to learn, I should say?
No, I would actually like it. Took it all in as we went on, invasion training.
Weapons? Were there any weapons you hadn't come across in India, obviously?
Well, there was weapons. We went on invasion training up to Scotland, I remember.
What did you do up there? What form did that take?
Well, this our officer, he was short of a lance corporal to make up his platoon. So he came to me and he said, will you take a stripe? And I remember saying to him, I said, you've been a decent officer to me? I said, yes. So I was a lance corporal then. And we're on this invasion training, and our artillery were firing. I was going up this slope. I think there was a bloke in front of me, and I was behind him. The rest of the blokes were behind me. We're going up this slope. And the artillery fired a shell. It dropped short. It caught this lad in shrapnel in his arm. Off went my steel helmet, round like that. I picked it up, put it on, never looking at it, put it on, and I turned round at bloke like this. And I said, who the hell's buggering about here? I thought they were bomb happy lot, like, I thought they'd thrown a grenade or something like that. And I looked at one bloke and said, the face of horror. He said, oh, my. He said, you'll never get killed in France. He said, look at your steel helmet. And I took it off, and where a bit of shrapnel had gone through, so you could get your fist through. So that was a decent omen, like.
What was the...
marching back, this Kirkpatrick turned out to me. he was laughing like smiling. I said, "All right, you bloody are laughing." I thought it my hair, and some hair came out, you know, I just took to my line, you know. I couldn't, if I'd been, anybody says to me, you're very small, aren't you? I said, after a quarter of an inch, I wouldn't have been talking to you today. And you wouldn't believe that happened to another bloke straight away.
You mentioned there, interestingly, that some of the men were bomb happy. Were these the older veterans that had been through?
Sling a grenade into the river and get some fish.
Is that what you meant by bum happy?
They didn't give it down, like, you know. Well, good soldier to be with. Yes.
Were they telling you tales of their experiences?
Oh, they told me a few tales, yes. Yeah. One tale they told me, one lad told me, he says, about the Gurkhas. He said, they were in camp and this. He tell him, came running in, and he went down on his knees in front of him. Because a Gurkha was chasing him, and he said, cut the money out, ready. You know, I said, what did you do? I said, no, Johnny, don't. He said, poor Intel, in tears, like, begging for his life. He would have had his head off, don't Gurkha.
Was the Scotland experience basically hill fighting? Or
yes.
Did you do any invasion training, landing from boats and so forth?
Yes, we did all that, yes.
Where did this take place?
Eh?
Where did this take place?
Well, we did it in Scotland, we did it down on the south coast, Aileen Island, and Portland again there.
Well, these from the infantry landing craft and, you know,
the craft that was going to take us all was there, and we were all trained in our positions, what we had to do, and trained for that. Now, the sergeant I was under was the middle section of the boat. It was to be the first one out. It was the assault section. And that sergeant carried detonators, because we had these Bangalore torpedoes, which you put under the wire and blew it upwards. You know, during the First World War, the artillery could never cut the wire, but these could. Now, he had the detonators for that, and we were trained with that. I was at the back, being second in command, you see, and about six blocks he had in front. We were trained with that. We were trained with mine detectors.
Carpet sweeper type.
Yes.
How do they work?
We had no need for them, but we were trained with them. So they picked up the metal.
Did you actually have to use one yourself in the training?
We were all trained on them. Yes.
How do they detect and how do they work? You've got this instrument, which you and you've got earphones in.
Yes, it's a screech, you know.
And when you hear the screech, you obviously identify where the mine is. What do you do then? You yourself as the instrument operator.
You're supposed to get your bayonet out and clear the ground away, scrape it away. One man, he got the DCM. In the desert, although he was killed in Normandy, he got the DCM in. What happened? The truck had gone into a minefield, and he jumped out of the truck, and with his bayonet, he cleared away with his bayonet, feeling for these mines, and he got the truck backed out, and they gave him the DCM.
What was his name? Do you remember?
I don't know his name. It come to me, but